Clarity and Focus, April the 15th, 2024. At the end of 2022, I brought out a 100-page booklet entitled Enemies of the People, the Rothschilds and their Corrupt Global Empire. To be honest, I was a bit apprehensive about publishing it, as I knew that it would probably lead to me being labelled not just a conspiracy theorist, but an anti-Semite as well. This did actually happen, despite my insistence right at the start of the booklet that, quote, I am not singling out the Rothschilds because they are Jewish, but rather in spite of that fact, end quote. Before publishing it, I made very sure that I was completely certain about everything I stated. I was confident that I had marshalled enough facts and reliable historical analysis to demonstrate the reality of the very disturbing situation that I presented in the final section. Quote, the Rothschilds have, as I've shown, amassed vast wealth at the expense of the rest of us, consistently put themselves before others, profiteered from war after war, grabbed hold of industrial infrastructure, exploited humanity, destroyed nature, corrupted political life, used royalty for their own purposes, privatised the public sector, imposed their global control in a secretive manner, and now imagine that they can dictate our future, confining us to a miserable and denatured state of techno-totalitarian slavery. End quote. Nothing I have seen or heard since then has cast any doubt on this conclusion. In fact, I've merely come across further nuggets confirming the central role of the Rothschilds in the global criminocracy, such as in my November 2023 dive, sparked by Ben Rubin's work, into the sinister world of Tony Blair and the Rothschilds. Independent journalist Sonia Poulton brought out an excellent video report on the same subject at around the same time. Incidentally, the strange political continuity between Margaret Thatcher, conservative, and Tony Blair, Labour, is easier to understand when you discover the closeness of both British politicians to the Rothschilds. With regard to the former, the Bloomberg obituary of Evelyn de Rothschild declared, quote, his friendship with Margaret Thatcher, British Prime Minister from 1979 to 1990, helped the bank win the job of lead underwriter in the sales of shares in state-owned companies such as British Gas PLC and British Petroleum PLC, end quote. Somebody has kindly pointed out to me that Rothschild involvement in planning the privatisation by stealth of the NHS is mentioned in the 2022 documentary The Great NHS Heist, 8 minutes in. I've also stumbled across a couple of references to the Rothschilds in the writing of respected anarchists from previous centuries. I quoted Mikhail Bakunin's comments about the compatibility of Karl Marx's viewpoint with that of the Rothschilds in The False Red Flag. And I was also interested to find this quote from the Italian anarchist Errico Malatesta. Quote, today, a government consisting of property owners and people dependent on them is entirely at the disposal of the owners, so much that the richest among them disdain to take part in it. Rothschild does not need to be either a deputy or a minister. It suffices that deputies and ministers take their orders from him. End quote. Anyone who imagines that this is no longer the case today and that the Rothschilds somehow lost the vast power they once wielded has been fooled by their sophisticated self-concealment. The same goes for people who are aware of the role of the Rothschilds but who imagine that they are just one of several big powerful families and are on even footing with the likes of the Rockefellers. I'm not alone in my conviction that other billionaire clans have for many decades now been subsidiary to the Rothschilds. One suggestion often encountered on Twitter/X is that the Rothschilds are in fact just a front for an even murkier network of old European aristocracy linked to the Roman Catholic Church. My doubts regarding this particular theory have led to one or two strange accounts getting quite angry with me, accusing me of being controlled opposition and, by focusing on the Rothschilds, diverting attention away from the real rulers of the world, whom they never seem to actually name. I feel this issue has now been satisfactorily cleared up by events in Gaza, or rather by the lack of humane reaction to events in Gaza by governments across the world. It is obvious from the carte blanche given to Israel for its genocidal activities and from the smearing of anyone daring to speak out against the bloodbath that the global criminocracy is aligned with Zionism and Israel. This remains true even if, as seems possible, US and European complicity with these crimes is intended to facilitate the transfer of global geopolitical power to the BRICS-dominated multipolar version of the New World Order. No family is more closely associated with the Zionist Israeli entity than the Rothschilds. The Balfour Declaration of 1917, in which Britain expressed the intention of helping to create a Jewish state, was actually addressed to Lord Rothschild, and as Ben Rubin explained on UK Column in March this year, Yad Hanadiv, the Israeli version of the Rothschild Foundation, was, quote, the funding vehicle behind the design and build of the Israeli Supreme Court and Knesset, and was intimately involved in the establishment of the Israeli state, end quote. Since the global criminocracy has revealed itself to be clearly Zionist, the fact that the Rothschilds are so dominant within Zionism constitutes, by itself, even without all the rest of the copious evidence pointing that way, confirmation that they are likewise the dominant force within the global criminocracy. To be clear on this point, this does not mean that the Jews control the world. Most Jews control nothing at all beyond their own personal lives, just like the rest of us. It is important to very specifically refer to the Rothschilds in order to avoid a merging of the notions of Rothschildian power and Jewish power, which only helps the Rothschilds to hide their own responsibility behind a fog of anti-Semitism, whether real or merely alleged. Simply to talk about the Rothschilds, about what they've done, what they're doing, and what they plan to do, is to start challenging their activities and their dominant status. Their system only works through the unsuspecting complicity of millions of people who don't realise what masters they are ultimately serving. Because of this, the Rothschilds don't want the extent of their influence being generally understood, preferring us to focus on the activities of particular individual puppet politicians, or on rival nation-states or power blocks within their global system, or on the various ideologies, capitalism, communism, fascism, climate-based environmentalism, that all prop up the state industrial development agenda essential to that system. The flood of hate laws being introduced across the world, seeking to prevent so-called online harm, is, I suspect, largely a response to growing public awareness of the nature of the criminocratic system. They're worried that we're onto them and will refuse to go along with their nefarious plans. In the 19th century, when the Rothschilds took less care to conceal their wealth and power, they were met with not only written but physical attacks from angry people, particularly in France. During the 1848 uprising there, insurgents targeted the industrial rail infrastructure with arson and sabotage, particularly the Rothschilds' massive Nord network. A section of their line near Paris suffered more than 1 million francs of damage, and a Rothschild chateau in the Parisian suburbs was set on fire. And in 1895, a homemade letter bomb was sent to a Rothschild address in France, prompting the Times in London to comment, quote, an anarchist outrage on one of the Rothschilds is not greatly to be wondered at. In France, as elsewhere, they are so wealthy and hold so prominent a place that they stand out as the natural objects which anarchists would seek to attack. End quote. Rothschild offices have also been targeted on several occasions by the Gilets Jaunes, Yellow Vests, a 21st century popular insurgency that brought so much hope to so many of us from 2018. In 2019, protesters wrote, Rothschild, give the money back, on the road outside the bank in Lyon. Then in April 2022, a group of Gilets Jaunes walked into the Rothschild premises in Paris and denounced the role of President Emmanuel Macron in a big money deal involving Nestlé and Pfizer, while he was, openly at the time, a Rothschild employee. It would be encouraging to see similar actions happening in the UK, whether at Rothschild HQ, New Court in London, or at Waddesdon Manor, the country mansion in Buckinghamshire, used by the Rothschild Foundation for its secretive and undemocratic meetings, deciding behind closed doors the future direction the country will be taking. See again the UK column report. The idea of protesting at a country mansion isn't as outlandish as it might seem. While I was still living in England, I was involved in a couple of protests at Whiston House near Stenning, West Sussex, which is home to Wilton Park, the secretive UK government venue that boasts, quote, "We convene world-changing dialogues." Just to give you a flavour, recent 2024 events have included ones called Towards 2030, Transformative Actions and Partnerships to Deliver the SDGs, and Building the Enabling Environment for Ukraine's Economic Growth, the Role of Its Reform Agenda. I was also part of a huge crowd demonstrating outside a luxury country hotel near Watford when it hosted the 2013 Bilderberg meeting, yet another secretive gathering of the public-private mafia. A fellow campaigner and I seized the opportunity to hand out leaflets and chat to people to encourage them to come to our Stop G8 protests in central London a few days later, an uphill struggle given the baffling mutual suspicion between two groups of people opposing different gatherings of the same global criminocracy. So what would be the focus, the hook of any future UK protests against the Rothschilds? Reasons to oppose them are hardly in short supply. Personally speaking, their role in fabricating and prolonging the First World War still makes me angry, 110 years on. But what would be the one likely to attract most support? I don't think we currently need to look any further than their aforementioned proximity to the Israeli state, which is currently committing genocide in Gaza, and in particular their role in corrupting British democracy, not just in the interests of their private business, but in the interests of a foreign state. Quite a powerful wave of voices opposing Zionism and its insidious political influence is now emerging in the UK. I'm thinking of the likes of David Miller, Peter Oborne, Asa Winstanley, Loki, Tom London, Craig Murray, Mark Curtis, Matt Kennard and Andrew Feinstein. Importantly, in view of the smears that are always rolled out, many anti-Zionists are Jewish and their continuing involvement should be celebrated and encouraged. Is it inconceivable that a protest movement against Zionism in general could start to home in on the Rothschilds in particular?